There have been some awesome studies in Judges. Studying Gideon has been a blessing. I love when the Lord just says, just read with me. And it's like reading with him is just so amazing. I love his word. I love his word. But as you guys know, for everyone who was here Sunday, the Lord, you know, just spoke to my heart and didn't even speak to my heart. My mouth opened and said, we're going to do a study on immigrants, who, what the Lord, you know, how the Lord feels about immigrants. You know, because there's so much in the news right now about immigrants. And I was, as I was praying and reflecting, it's okay. As I was praying and reflecting and talking to him about it, because it's so important, always stand in the counsel of the Lord. Don't ever, you know, the Lord says, if they had always stood in my counsel, you know, it's his word. And it's like, you know, from worship to prayer meeting to, you know, anything that you do that has to do with the Lord, because it's spiritual, always stand in his counsel, always stand in his advice. And as I was praying and waiting on him, he said that the study is not just about immigrants, you know, because I was interested, you know, my son and I, he and I have such an interesting relationship. We can be saying the same thing, and, you know, my daughter, she is, she will be going around the mulberry bush, and she'll just stop us, you know, as we're going around it again. And we're like, and then we kind of laugh and keep going, but we were talking about, you know, all that's happening in the news with immigrant, and I was telling them it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because I understand what our Lord, you know, says about it. But this is what I know about the Lord. Even what you think you understand, you don't understand. So he breaks it down even further. I'm like, wow, Lord, you're so awesome. Even when I think I understand. And so the title of this study tonight is called Immigrants, Foreigners, and Aliens. You know, because he wanted to talk about all three of them. Don't we have some anointing oil somewhere? And I'm like, Cody needs his anointing. I prayed, but nothing happened. Which is unusual. But so I'm going to start this study asking a question. How many in here, how many of you are immigrants? How many of you are foreigner? How many are of you are an alien? Why do you think you're an immigrant? For those who raise your hand, why do you think you're an immigrant?
Because I know that my forefathers were not born in this country.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I'm not from this country.
Okay,
I wasn't born here.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Were your forefathers born in this country, Jeff?
They were born here, but my great-great-grandfather was not.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Was everybody born here except your great-great-grandfather?
Everybody was born here except for my great-great-grandfather, but I was born on the military base because my dad was stationed in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And married my mom there, so
uh-huh.
I was born there, but they said technically I'm an American, so
uh-huh.
I'm born here because I was born on the base.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Wow.
So,
are you Native American?
No.
Okay. So you're an immigrant. Is anybody in here Native? In fact, the Native Americans call themselves First Nation. They're the First Nation, and even they are immigrants. They were the First Nation to migrate in this direction. But they, too, are immigrants. In fact, living in New Mexico among several Native American tribes, their ancestors are Asian. And you wouldn't know it until you are among them and they begin to talk to you in their language. And, you know, it's like, you know, truly, when I look around this room at my Asian friends, if you were on a reservation with me, they would talk to you. Because, you know, they look, you know, like the two of you. You look ever Asian. You don't look, you know,
ever Asian.
Ever Asian. You look like you got a white somebody.
Esther?
Yeah. Hello? Hi, Esther. Yeah, you don't look all Asian. You know, so they were
Hi,
probably
Mr. Kesley.
How you doing, little one?
It's good. It's good.
Amen. So that was kind of, you know, because you look Asian, but you don't look Asian. And so, but, you know, my friends who look Asian, you look Native. You look Native. And it's like, wow. You definitely look Amerasian. They probably would. I don't think they'd talk to you either. I don't think they'd talk with you either. You know, they wouldn't talk to you either.
Hey, in the hood, I was a brother.
But Native people are very, very shy. And they either have to really know you, or you have to look like them. And like, I grew up with the Navajos. And so I know just enough Navajo that, you know, and Navajos are real interesting because they talk with their expressions. You know, when they tell their children or their wives or their family to come here, they just go. And the first time I was like, your mama won't you? But, you know, but that's just to say, even those we think are First Nation aren't really First Nation because their heritage is somewhere else. You know, they were just the first to come to the nation and claim it as their own. But we, every single one of us in this room, are immigrants. This is an immigrant nation. You know, I was thinking about my ancestry, and I am like 8th generation born here. But 8 generations isn't a whole lot of time. So just 9 generations ago, my forefathers were in, they kind of got, African, Spanish, British. I thought I was more Native American. I was like, I'm less than 1% Native American and 9% white. I'm like, where'd that come from? Somebody must have been on the plantation. That's where that happened. But it's like, but I'm, you know, just a combination. But what's really interesting, I adore the water. I love the water. When we moved to New Mexico, I missed the water. And when I come here, one of the things that I want to do is just go and sit by the water. Because the water brings me peace, and I feel like I can breathe. Even when I'm flying in, when I look down and see the water, I exhale. Well, when I did a DNA test, every single one of my ancestors, every single one of them are from the water. And so it truly is in your DNA. My African ancestors, my Spanish ancestors, my French ancestors, my British ancestors, you know, because ancestry.com, they will tell you exactly where your ancestors are from. And as I was looking, I was amazed. Every single one of them are from water. And I was like, no wonder. And it's just been something since I was a little child. I loved water and didn't know why. And I know why now. But we are all immigrants. In fact, let's look at the definition. And I'm going to give this you know, to Pastor Jeannie, and she'll distribute it to everybody. Let's look at the definition of an immigrant. An immigrant is a person who leaves one country to settle permanently in another. An immigrant is someone who leaves one country to settle permanently in another. A foreigner is a person from another country. They're thought of as an outsider, an alien, a stranger. A foreigner comes, but they don't make the new country their permanent residence. And lastly, the alien is a resident from another country who does not have citizenship in the country of residency. So an alien is a resident from another country who does not have citizenship in the country they're residing in, which means even from the Bible, an alien was not a legal citizen. And yet the Lord said, we're going to talk about what the Lord says about aliens, about, you know, foreigners. He doesn't talk about immigrants. You can't find the word immigrant anywhere in the Bible. But I asked him, I said, Lord, immigrant is not in the Bible, yet you call this study immigrants, foreigners, and aliens. Why did you call it immigrants? And he said, because there are some famous immigrants in my word. Can y'all think of one? Or two? Or three?
Moses. Moses could be one.
Absolutely. Very good. Why could Moses be an immigrant?
Because he settled into Egypt.
He was born in Egypt.
He was born in Egypt, but he was not Egyptian.
His heritage wasn't an Egyptian.
He was a Hebrew. But his birth country was Egypt. But what makes him an alien is he left Egypt. He left Egypt. And where he resided for the next 40 years was in Midian as an immigrant. But the Lord said that he was an Egyptian by country, Hebrew by ancestry. And he sent that Hebrew Egyptian back into Egypt to bring his people out. But Moses, as long as he was in Midian, he was an immigrant. Can you think of another famous immigrant?
Actually, I had a question.
Yes.
What is the difference between foreigner and alien again?
An alien?
Yeah.
An alien is an illegal citizen. A foreigner doesn't even try to get residency. You know, immigrant goes for residency, a permanent. An alien, you know, comes, but they don't go through what it takes to get, you know, residency. Whereas a foreigner, you know, when we go visit France or China or Europe or whatever, we go as a stranger, you know, but we don't go planning to make it his home. Like Logos is getting ready to go to Haiti. They will be foreigners in Haiti because they're not citizens. They won't be aliens in Haiti because they're not trying to stay. They won't be immigrants in Haiti because they're not trying to make it their permanent home.
So about aliens, my mom has a green card, but she's considered an alien because her natural citizenship is in Korea, but she married my dad.
But a green card is not citizenship.
Nope, it is not.
Right. A green card is not citizenship.
But it allows you to reside.
It allows you to reside, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't give you the rights of a citizen. Can you vote?
No, not not a green card holder resident, so you have to be a citizen in order to vote.
Yeah. So I guess it would be two types of aliens. But in the Bible, we're going to talk about one type.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the law of the land definition, and then and that is more of a just a broad category of definition.
Yes.
Right? Because it's so funny. I mean, we can go on and on. It's just how the land, right?
Yes.
For example, when you pay tax, even as a H-1B visa holder, meaning you only have a visa, you're not a citizen, you're not a permanent resident, but you're required to pay tax. But as you pay tax, it says, for tax purposes, you are a permanent resident.
Yeah.
If I go to court and sue that and say, the fact that I even am a permanent resident, I should be treated as a permanent resident. No, just only tax.
Or tax.
Because when you pay tax, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think
because there's a law somewhere that says only permanent residents can pay tax.
Right.
So they built it into to be able to get your tax.
Yep. Yeah. Uncle Sam wants to always clip taxes.
Yeah.
Right. So that we all clear tonight, we're really focusing on just like how you describe it, where foreigner, you're not going to another country. And acquire a residency, right?
Right.
But this is a perspective of, from the biblical standpoint, is people are moved around.
Yes.
And God has a plan for his nation. God has a plan for his people, and their cross-border situation.
Yes.
But the heart about tonight's study, as I understand it, is there's going to be a time when even Israel will take in foreigners. Even Israel will take in aliens to protect them, because that's the law, the heart of God.
And in fact, right now, Israel is embroiled in controversy among their own people, because Israel, just as our president is restricting particular, citizens from other countries, Israel is doing the same thing. Israel is restricting aliens and refugees from the African countries. In fact, they meet them at the airport and turn them around. And so there is a big controversy going on right now in Israel, because the Israelites who study the Bible, just like we do, said that is not what our God says. Mm-hmm. You know, because he says, let's go to Exodus 22. Exodus chapter 22, and we're going to go to 21.
Chapter 22?
Exodus chapter 22. Verse 21. And start reading. I'll start with my brother, Pastor Chris.
Okay.
Exodus is like the fifth book of the Bible. Genesis, Leviticus, or it's not the fifth. Exodus.
That other fifth turned upside down.
Fifth forward.
You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Go ahead, and 22.
Oh, and 22. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan.
Keep going.
If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry.
Keep going.
And my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword.
Oh!
And your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless.
Lord says if you afflict I will put you in the state that the one who called out to me.
Ouch.
The Lord doesn't play when it comes to, and we'll keep reading, the Lord is very matter of fact. Orphans, widows, Levites, the needy, and the alien. Mm. The Lord has a special, for the Lord, you hear in the government, a protected class. These are the protected classes for our Lord. And so when I hear, and that's why my heart hurts, because I know that they don't understand woe. They are putting their hands, the Lord says, when you put your hands, you're putting your hands on the apple of his eye. And so people don't understand. And it's like, and that's why, you know, we have to be careful that we don't stand or side. Because, you know, truly the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge. And it's like, you know, and my heart weeps. And Israel, the nation of Israel, are putting Africans out. They're also putting out, it doesn't even, you know, Africans are the refugees they're not taking. They'll turn them around at the airport. And, you know, their position is, we'll give you $3,500 and send you back to your country. They're running from their countries. Mm-hmm. They're running from persecution. They're running from war. They're running from all these things. The Lord says, you know, one day, you know, he calls us. He told the Israelites, you know, when they're persecuted at the end of time and the Antichrist is in power, when you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. Mm-hmm. Flee to the next. That doesn't mean you're going to go and become a resident. You're running for your life. And he says, he specifically starts out in Exodus as he begins to lay his rules down. You were once an alien in Egypt. Don't mistreat him. Don't mistreat him. Let's continue to look at and see what the Lord has to say. Let's go on to Exodus 23:9. What did we read, brother? Yeah.
It says, you
Isaiah. Amen. Okay. Biblical name.
It says, you must not oppress the foreigner, the foreign residents. You yourself know how it feels to be a foreigner, because you were foreigners in the land of Egypt.
The Lord says, treat others the way you want to be treated. Right. You've been there. You know what it feels like to be oppressed. When he brought them out of Egypt, he said, I have brought you out of the fiery furnace. I brought you out of. And bring us out and bring them out. He said, don't get into the land of promise that I promised you and mistreat other foreigners. He said, don't do it. How many believe what the Lord spoke then holds up now? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. He said whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, for our reproof, for our encouragement. You know, that's why a lot of people and even governments will recognize that. Churches will open up and become sanctuaries and bring in those who they're trying to put out. And a lot of them are not doing it because they're afraid of losing their 501(c). Can you imagine not doing what the Lord has called you to do because you don't want to lose your tax zip status? Yes. And the Lord says that foreigners are strangers. You were once a foreigner or a stranger or an alien in the land.
The word is sojourner.
Sojourner.
Meaning they're traveling.
They're traveling through.
Yeah.
Come on. Sojourner. Stranger. Traveler. Let's go to Matthew 25 and see what he says about them three. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 25. My book there. Now we're going to start at verse 35. And read down to verse 44. Actually, let's start at 31. Let's start at 31 and read down to 44. Actually, 46.
Okay.
You can read all that, or if it's too much, we can share it.
I would love to read all of that.
Amen.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory.
Let me stop you guys real quick because I know everybody comfortable. How many have been in a court of law?
Like a jury?
Judges, jury, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When the judge comes in, what does everybody do?
Everybody stands.
Why?
Respect.
Respect. Let's stand tonight for his word. Not all of them.
No,
please read. Oh. Wait, let's have everybody start taking pictures. I was there too with my funny feet. You take a picture, y'all say, that's the last time Pastor Calvin go. You got everybody standing. Okay.
Lord Jesus. Okay. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left, on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come.
Don't miss this.
He sets
the sheep on his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
He sets the goats on his left.
Okay.
And then he says to those on his right hand, who are they?
The sheep.
The sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He is the good shepherd talking to his followers.
Mm-hmm. This is what he said to the sheep. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?
I want to stop you once again. To the those of his right.
Right, by the sheep.
Uh-huh. He said to them,
Come. You are blessed.
Those who are blessed of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to understand why they're blessed.
Because of this. They've fed him.
Uh-huh.
They visited him when he was in prison. Uh-huh. They gave him something to drink when
uh-huh.
he was thirsty.
Or go into Matthew 5, blessed are the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are, these are people who walk obediently with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They are blessed of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who
walk with the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
They're blessed by the Father. See, when you follow Jesus Christ, he blesses you.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't, curses rest on you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to take away the curses from us. And under him, we find blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Under him, we find blessing. Does that make sense, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's like, well, no Jesus, no blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little harsh, but it's the truth. He came when he came. He took away all those decrees and those curses. He took it away from us. And we became blessed. And it's not about what we do. It's about who we are in him. It's about the relationship we have because of him. You know, and a lot of people, I'll say, you know, I was talking to, praise the Lord, don't give up, Jeff, you can sit down while I'm talking. I was talking to the new director of finance at Foster Pepper, the law firm today. It was such a blessing. I've been praying, Lord, don't let me leave here without talking to him about you. And everybody's working late, and I already told him Wednesday night, Friday night, I'm out. And so he said again, because he forgot, so what are you going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to go and teach the Word of God. He went, really? I said, mm-hmm. He said, well, I'm Catholic. And he says, we're not good Catholics, because the Catholics just want your money. And they want your, and they want, and they want, and I said, but what's your relationship with, like with Jesus? He just looked at me and he said, my mother-in-law has a pretty good one. He says, because when my son comes home, he says, Grandma, he says, he looks at me and says, Daddy, Grandma, she says, Jesus is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I said, praise the Lord. And he says, and when he starts talking about Jesus, we didn't worry about where he's been. And I said, you know, I'm blessed by that because he sent me his family financial goals and talked about how much money he and his wife want to make by what time because they want to take care of the cultural, the intellectual, and the, I can't remember the third one, and their children's lives. And I remember looking at that and thinking, what about the spiritual? Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, thank you for sharing your family, you know, financial goals. I said, because I wondered where, who was going to take care of the spiritual, you know, for your children. I said, and now you've just told me the Lord has placed your mother-in-law to make sure that your children are spiritually grounded. And I says, because Scott, what will it get? What will they gain by having all this cultural knowledge, all this intellect, all this finances, and they're empty? And he looked at me and he said, wow. He said, my wife and I are just having that conversation last night. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, we own a home, a multi-million dollar home in Queen Anne. We have another home, you know, on the water in Ocean Shores. We're thinking about buying another home. And he says, and we have all this stuff. And he said, and we travel the world and we take our kid. And he said, and I'm coming here and I'm working really late every night and we're not happy. Mm-hmm. I said, he didn't send me back to this office for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I said, because, you know, Scott, you can do all that and do all that planning. And I said, but in the end, can you take any of those houses, any of those vehicles, any of that with you? And what about your children? So it's like, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Even when I went into the cafeteria, Foster Pepper has her own cafeteria. Foster Pepper is a Jewish law firm. Every single day there's pork on the menu. They got bacon, they got sausage, they got hot links. Yeah. They got pork this, they got pork that, and I came in last week. I said, what is wrong with y'all? And they said, what? I said, y'all a Jewish law firm. And all the Jewish lawyers started laughing. I said, and none of y'all are walking kosher. I said, a pig in the stable in the cafeteria. And I said, I can't eat nothing up in here. I guess I'm going to go, because you can't, they got pork soup, they got pork salad, they got pork. And so I said, you know, can I have this a vegetarian? Don't you have a carrot stick that you have it? Rub some pork on it. I came in this week. Every single item in terms of they have one vegetarian dish for breakfast. They have a vegetarian dish for lunch. They have vegetarian snacks. When I walk in, Catherine, vegetarian up there. And it's like, all you have to do is call the account. And so I was like, and I said, okay, we got a vegetarian quiche for you. I was like, well, praise the Lord. And we got homemade chicken noodle soup today. I'm like, now you know this is a shame. They point out their menu because I'm there. It's like, all these strong Jewish people.
Nobody.
Because there's also a movement afloat about how anti-kosher can they be. And they have these where they're eating all this food that they know is contrary to the Bible, and they're no longer circumcising their children. Rising up against the Lord. So it's not so much what you do, it's who you walk with. Who is your shepherd? That's why he calls them the sheep over here. Guess what do we know about goats?
Slaughter.
What else do we know before they get slaughtered?
They're stubborn, they butt.
They're stubborn, they butt.
They'll eat anything.
They'll eat anything.
They'll eat anything. Or anyone. Go for it, my boy.
Okay.
Well, oh, 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed.
Ooh.
That's the goats.
Ooh.
Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Don't miss that. Mm-hmm. Hell was never prepared for us.
No.
Mm. It was prepared for Satan
and
his angels, the demons. Mm-hmm. But this is the mercy of our God. If we don't, would he insist that you live with him eternally if you don't even want to live with him temporarily? That's the mercy, though you don't see it.
And no drink, that was a strength. Okay. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in eternal life.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you look at that passage of scripture and really study it. The stranger, you didn't take in. We're not taking in folks into our country. We're not taking them into our homes. And the Lord said, the strangers you didn't take in. There are a lot of countries going to give account of this. And we as his people can't stand on the side and say, you know what, Will? We got to stand on the side of righteousness. And pray for them. Because I bet every single one of us, somebody has somebody who wasn't legal at some point. Who wasn't legal at some point. And if you don't stand with them, you know, aliens, they are not residents. An alien, a foreigner, is also a stranger. Let's look at Job 19:15. And the hungry, and those who are clothed, those were the needy and the poor. They're part of God's protected class.
Job 19:15.
Job 19:15. And Job is, since I've already pastored a man, I was the third from the fifth book.
book before Psalms.
Yeah.
Amen. The book before Psalms.
Psalms is right in the middle.
Psalms is right in the middle. Okay. There you go. Yes.
Job 19:15. The guests in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I have become a foreigner in their eyes.
Mm. You see that? A foreigner, a stranger? They count me as a stranger. I've become a foreigner. Mm. You know, you're not, you know, a regular in the land. Mm. You're a stranger.
Mine says an alien in their sight.
Mm. Come on. Mm. Alien, foreigner, and stranger are all used, you know, interchangeably. Immigrant is the only one, and the word is not, I didn't see it in the Bible, but there are immigrants in the Bible. We first learned of Moses. Abraham was an immigrant.
Jesus.
The Lord in Genesis 12 said, leave your country. Mm-hmm. Leave your country and go in. And Genesis 12, and in Acts 7, shows us that Abraham was an immigrant. Mm-hmm. He came into the land of promise. He left, he was from Babylonia. You know, and he left his home. And then when he left, when he sent his servant back to get a wife, he said, don't take my son back there. I've come out of that country. Don't you move back. Don't you take him back there. Ruth was a famous immigrant. You guys know who Ruth is? Who's Ruth?
She's in the Bible.
She is.
Grandmother. Grandmother.
Of who?
Jesus.
There you go. There you go. She was a Moabitess. She came with her mother-in-law after her husband and her father-in-law and her brother-in-law had all died and came back into the land of Israel with her mother-in-law. She was an immigrant. So though the Bible doesn't specifically use the word, the Lord showed me that's why the study is called Immigrants, Foreigners, and Aliens. Because the immigrants are there too. They came into the land and made another country their home. And they made another country their home. What does the Lord say about how we're supposed to treat the foreigners? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 8. verses 41 through 43. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41 through 43. Or also, wait. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41 through 43. And 1 Kings is after those first five books, and then Joshua, and then Judges, and then Samuel, and then the Kings. Are we all there?
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings, chapter 8.
Chapter 8, verse 41.
Uh-huh, through 43.
41?
Uh-huh, 41 through 43. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 41 through 43. And when everybody gets there, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. You want to read?
No.
Okay. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a faraway country for your name's sake, today will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward the temple, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, and do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name.
So here is Solomon, and the Lord later tells Solomon, I'll answer your prayers. So when the foreigners come to the temple, hear their prayers. Because in answering their prayers, what happens when they go home? Mm. They talk about the God of Israel. Mm. Look at Naaman the leper. He came, he came into Israel to get healing because his slave girl said, I wish we lived in Israel, because there's a prophet there. And he came and he got healing. And he said, Can I take some dirt back from the land of Israel? True God lives here. And when my master needs to lean on me because he's not so stable, can I get forgiveness when I go into that false temple where I now know the fake God lives? And Elijah said, yes, go. You're forgiven. He'll know your heart. Mm-hmm. And so Candace, her servant, the Ethiopian, sitting down a road in the promised land, reading about Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says to Philip, go catch up Jared. Go up to that chariot and begin to talk to that man. He's reading the word, and Philip crawls down, walks up to the chariot and says, do you understand what you're reading? And that's in Acts. And he says, how can I if someone doesn't explain it to me? And Philip the evangelist, right there in Isaiah, began to tell him about Jesus. Mm-hmm. That Isaiah was talking about Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, there's some water right there. What will prevent me from getting baptized? This foreigner who had learned about the Lord now wanted to, and he was going to take that back to his country to proclaim the good news. So the Lord is like, don't turn the foreigners away. Those are the folks who are going to, starting from Jerusalem, but starting from Jerusalem, because where do you start from? Where his throne is. Where do you start with the people he first made covenant? And he said, but didn't go throughout the entire world. Take the good news of the living God. Hear their prayer. So they will proclaim throughout the world about the living God. How many people don't even want foreigners in their church? Not biblical. Not biblical. Let's see what he says about foreigners in Isaiah 56:3. Isaiah 56:3. In fact, Jeff, you said it two times, and you're absolutely right. Our Jesus was a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
This was not his home. Well, he was even more foreign than that.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped into this world. Just like we are foreigners. Just like Abraham. We, you know, I'll never forget, remember the Jimmersons? And Katie Jimmerson looked at me and said, "Do you believe in aliens?" I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Really?" I said, "I do." She goes, "Why?" I said, "I am one."
So the only one that is an immigrant, foreigner, or alien is Adam and Eve. Because they were created.
Good point. But we're not going to talk about the ones who live there. We're going to talk about the ones who don't.
They got put out though.
They got put out the car.
They got, and they were sent out from their home.
Yes, after they sent.
There it is. He's like, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do with her?" Wow. But we should all be aliens. We should be like Abraham. And we're going to go look at it in Hebrews 11. But that's where I took Katie to when I said, "Yes, I'm an alien." And she went, and she said, "Really?" I said, "I am." I said, "As a child of God, this is not my home." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, I'm looking for the city whose architect is God."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I have been called out of this world, and as a result, I don't love the world. The world is not my home. I'm not trying to build an eternal place here. See, I know because of him that I won't be here forever." You know, when you go on vacation, you don't try to build, buy, you know, couches and remodels, and you take what you can carry and a suitcase, and that's it. If we truly know this is not our home, why do we live as if it is? Why do we live as if this is our forever place? Let's turn very quickly to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 15. And Nathan's dad, can you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read that?
Hebrews
11, 13 through 15.
Hey,
are y'all looking at this? He's like, "I know what time it is." Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16.
We're ready?
Amen.
Amen. All day in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed,
if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Mm. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them.
That's why I'd be alien. Mm. This is not my home. I'm looking for the one where my Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Mm. I go to prepare a place for you. My home is with my shepherd. My home is with my shepherd who will say to me, separate me to the right and say, enter into my rest. Enter into my Father's place. You have been called and blessed by my Father. Let's also look at Psalms 119, verse 19. Psalms 119, verse 19. And Mayanna, that's yours. And Edmund, you've got 2 Corinthians 5, 6, Master. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6.
Psalms
119.
Oh, yeah.
Psalms 119, verse 19.
I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me.
He's praying to the Lord and saying, I'm a stranger in the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. It's like, you know, when I first read that, it touched me. I used to travel a lot around the world. And there are some times I just wanted to hear my own language. Lord, I'm a stranger. I just want to hear my own language. This person is saying, I want to hear your word. Don't have your word for me. I'm a stranger in this earth. We should draw near to Him and have that kind of relationship with Him that we long to hear His voice. We long to hear His words. We get tired of what we see. The Lord says, blessed are those who sigh over sin. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, the Lord said that, told when He was going to destroy Jerusalem, in Ezekiel chapter 8, He told an angel to go through the city of Jerusalem. And if you could find just one man, He would destroy it. And He told him, go through, and all those that sigh over sin, put a mark on them. Put a mark on them, and they will be spared. Just as in Exodus, the Passover. You know, Passover simply means death passed over their homes. He told them to, you know, slay, again, the foreshadow, a young lamb, perfect lamb, and take the blood and put it over, not just the, you know, what's this?
Lintel.
The lintel, but here.
The doorpost.
The doorpost. The lintel and the doorpost, but did you notice He didn't tell them to put it on the bottom? Don't ever step over or step in the blood of God. And He said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over that home. I will pass over. The Lord puts a mark on us. The blood of the Lamb is on us. And so we have passed from darkness into marvelous light. We have passed from death into life. Into life. And when he sees the blood, he passes over us. And those curses and all that pass. But see, when he is not resident, we are open to whatever comes. But we should have such a relationship with him that we shouldn't be comfortable. In fact, the Lord says that in James 4:4 that you love the world. He calls you adulteresses. He calls you adulteresses. He says that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. You can't be a friend of one and maintain a friend of the other. In 2 Corinthians 6, he says, what does light have to do with darkness? Because when we're sitting in the light, there is no darkness, but when we flip that switch off, the darkness comes. He says, you know, come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. And he says in 1 John, those who love the world and the things of the world, he tells us, don't love them. Don't love the things of this world. They're passing away. He tells us to keep ourselves unstained from the world. As aliens, as strangers, as foreigners. You know, the world says when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Don't do it. You've not heard that expression? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Mm-hmm. When you're in Rome, walk holy. Mm-hmm. That expression came before what's done in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's the other thought.
Yeah. What's done in Vegas will come to light.
Yeah, yeah.
It will come to light. He said, it will come to light. What's hidden in darkness will come to light. But we, as God's people, should walk as God's people, should not embrace this world or the things of the world. And the Lord constantly talks to me. Because I'll see something, I'll say, ooh, that's cute. The Lord says, don't you even think about it. I like me some green lipstick. He said, don't even put it on.
Yeah.
Green? Girl, no, yeah. First John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, I saw my sister wondering about, do not love the world or the things in the world. First John, and it's not the Gospel of John. It goes all the way back here to a journalist. First John, chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17.
1 John chapter 2.
Chapter 15. I mean, no, verses 8. 15 through 17. That's where it is. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Who wants to read that? You want to read that, Pastor? She's bouncing, you're vibrating, you okay?
Verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world.
1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17.
Okay. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever.
Amen. The world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. You can't walk as the world does and walk as a foreigner. You can't hang out and do the things of the world and walk as the Lord. You have got to be separate. You've got to walk holy. You've got to walk there. And you got to realize this is not your home. A whole lot of people have recognized that too late. They don't wake up in the morning. They don't get to where they think they're going. You know, it's such a blessing to know the Lord. It's such a blessing to be called His own. This law firm, they'll ask me, how are you doing? I am blessed. Wow. That is such a good answer. It's like, what is wrong with you? I am blessed. That's really a good answer. Why are you blessed? And I said, why do you think I'm blessed? Wow, there's so many reasons. I love causing these lawyers to just stop. Just stop and think. And, Father, forgive me. They're all going through sexual harassment training right now, so they can't touch each other. And so there's this one black rainmaker, Ray Stone, and he's really funny. And Rafe, he lost weight a few years ago, and I call him Denzel. And, you know, and he's a multimillionaire. And everybody's afraid of Rafe but me, because I'm like, you put your pants on one leg at a time, too. So when I see him down the hall when he's in the class, and I, Denzel! And he cracks up. He can't get serious. So the first time he saw me, he went, and he was standing with one of our other attorneys, and we hug each other. Goes, wait a minute, I can't hug you. And he says, I can't hug you because, you know, sexual harassment here, just bump me. I said, didn't know you're the rainmaker. I said, I won't sue you. But it's like, you know, just being yourself, being transparent, you know, loving the Lord and not going through all the errors and stuff, speaking to everybody, telling them about the Lord. And it's like, God is good. God is good. You know, they hear that. They got to quit cursing the 2 weeks I'm on site. They say, she has a curse jar. She'll bring it out and make you think. And Scott said, I'm afraid to say anything. I said, well, look at y'all. Y'all up in this law firm with all these expensive clothes on. Y'all all fashioned out and sound like sailors. I was like, somebody needs to help y'all out. A foreigner in there. I'm talking about their food. I'm talking about their conduct. I had one young man say, I just like you because you're not bougie. What's bougie? What's bougie? And he said, you just down to earth. He says, you call them as you see them. I said, integrity. Integrity. Help these people not walk as hypocrites and walk as heirs. Get these people to look at themselves. This is a Jewish law firm. I've watched the Lord bless that law firm. They have never not made their revenue budget. They give a lot away to a lot of folks. And yet they're not walking. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their soul? I'm talking and I'm laughing, but we should cause people to look at themselves. Not at what we say, but how we live. We should be salt and light. What happens when you see yourself in the light?
You're a transformed person.
And you transform others. Mm-hmm. I have a sweet girlfriend. And her makeup was always horrible. I'm like, how is her makeup so bad? I stay with her. She puts her makeup on in the dark. She goes in that bathroom and he thinks, why? He's like, you need some light. And she's like, no, light, that's enough. Girl, you need the mirror outside the door where there is some light. Her makeup is my color, and I'm a black woman. She's not a black woman. And she is in the dark. She needs some light. I'm sorry, Alan. She needs some light. I just thought about that. We should be light, causing people to look at themselves. I'm serious. We should be walking and causing people to think there is something not right here. I'm making y'all laugh, and I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Our lives should call people to examine their own. Our lives, because of Christ in us, and not by what we do or what we say, but how we live, our lives should bring conviction, because the Spirit of God dwells within us. That can only happen if we're aliens, if we're sojourners, if we're foreigners in this world. And the Lord says that, let's look at some more things, what he thinks. Let's look at Leviticus 19:10. Leviticus 19:10.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Leviticus 19:10. Okay. Let's start at verse 9. Read Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10. Josh, you want to read that? Oh, wait, Jane. Jane, you want to read that?
What was it again?
Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10.
Now when you eat the harvest of your land, you shall...
Leviticus
19:10. Yeah, he was right.
Oh, 19:10.
Now when you eat the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, neither shall you gather the beginnings of your harvest, nor shall you glean the vineyards, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyards. You shall leave them for the yeast and for the stranger. I'm the Lord your God.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Jaden? Did y'all hear this?
Young man.
Are
they here?
That was good. Go ahead and say it again, Jay. That was so good.
You don't mean to take all of it, you can use them for other people.
The Lord says, I've blessed you. Thank you, Jaden. Man of God there. We man of God. You don't need to take all of it. I've blessed you with what is grown on your land. Don't try to get every piece of it.
Don't be selfish.
Don't be selfish. Leave it for the stranger and leave it for the needy. Something that y'all shouldn't miss in that. The Lord knows that the stranger is going to have needs. They're not going to have a job. How many times have you heard, not just here with the whole immigration, but in every country, we don't want to carry them. Mm-hmm. Why don't they get a job? I've heard that so many times when I'm poor. They don't want to carry them. And yet our Lord here says, carry them. Don't take it all. Leave some for them. In fact, when he and his disciples were walking through the grain fields eating, somebody in obedience to his word had left something in the field. Mm-hmm. And yet the Pharisees didn't see the mercy of these hungry men. All they saw was they were breaking the Sabbath. That's how the world sees things. They don't see the mercy and the compassion of God. I've so many times, well, they can get a job, I can get a job. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? The Lord already knows what their needs are going to be and has made a place. Now, that doesn't mean to say, don't ever get a job. He didn't say that. But if there's needs, you know, because he tells us in the New Testament, work with your own hands so you can bless somebody else. I'm not advocating here for somebody to never work. That is not what I'm saying by any means. I'm not saying for somebody to go get to a stranger and just carry them indefinitely. The Lord calls for wisdom. But I am saying have a compassionate heart. But for the grace of God, there goes some of us. But for his grace, it's like, have compassion. Don't take it all. Let's look at Deuteronomy 14:29. And that is the fifth book of the fifth book. 14:29. And we're going to read Deuteronomy 14. And we're going to start in verse 27 and read through 29. Deuteronomy 14, 27 through 29. And that's yours, my sister. Mm-hmm.
Say Deuteronomy 14.
Verses 27 through 29. Deuteronomy 14, verses 27 through 29.
All right, Deuteronomy 14, 27 through 29. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year, and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien, the orphan, and the widow who are in your town, shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do.
Look at this. You get a blessing by taking care of the protected class. He said the alien, the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the needy, and the Levite. And the Levite. Why is the Levite in there? And who is the Levite? Anybody want to know who the Levite is?
Who is the
Levite? Yeah, who is the Levite?
The priest.
The priest.
Of God.
Or the servants, yeah. That don't mean give all the Levites all you get. Because there's a whole prosperity ministry. That the Lord will bless you if you give it all to the church. He didn't say that. What's happening in Deuteronomy?
Talking about sharing.
Even in the New Testament, he says share. You food, come on, Pastor.
So I always look at this part that says every end of third year.
Yes.
And it's very specific about to these groups, Levites, orphans, widows.
Yes.
For they have no portion or inheritance among you.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. But they are them.
Come on.
Just, I think it's talking about the inheritance. But so funny thought I thought this. Okay, just making sure they're not only eating once every 3 years.
Very good.
Sure.
Very good.
This has nothing to do with, oh yeah, you know, for the rest of the time, we don't have to worry about
that.
After 30, oh yeah, time for you to eat.
Exactly.
They'll be dead by then.
This
is an offering above and beyond taking care of them.
Ooh, come on.
For the fact that the Lord cares for them.
Yes.
And the Lord is using this as an example. Everyone will have their portion.
Yes.
This is an earthly portion. But I thought
Amen.
It was interesting
Amen.
Why that was specifically
for 3 years
given given to them and for that reason also, you know, in a way God is fair, just different and taking care of
people. Amen. And did y'all hear what Pastor just said about the Lord? Said he cares for them. Mm. If he cares for them, we need to care for them. Mm. We need to care for them. You know, this body, you know, pastors, getting ready to go to Haiti. And every year, they raise things to take to the needy, take to the orphans, take to, you know. And they go, and they go through hardship to go. To go and be the hands and the feet of God. If y'all can't go, at the very least, y'all should be covering this team in prayer. That the Lord will take them safely in, the Lord will take them safely through, and the Lord will take them safely out. That he will keep his hand on this team that is willing to be uncomfortable, to go do his work. A lot of people want the comfort of home. In fact, when you think about, you know, going, you think about, ooh, we. But willing, so pray for the team and Logos Church that is headed for Haiti. Pray for the team and Logos Church who's willing to go out and feed the needy and provide clothing. And don't just pray for, become part of them. Become part of them. Let's also look at what he says about how we treat these folks. Let's look at Jeremiah 22:3. Jeremiah Jeremiah 22:3. And Jeremiah, you headed toward Malachi. There you go. That is Isaiah, Jeremiah, major prophet. Jeremiah 22:3. Hard to know, you want to read that?
Sure.
Oh, Hartono. I'm sorry. I was trying to make sure I said it right and laughed at me.
All right. Jeremiah 22:3.
Yes.
Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor. Oh, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place.
The Lord is specific about taking care of this group of protected class. Because he will deal with you on it. Look at Zechariah 7:10, or should we keep reading? Let's not go anywhere. Bosham, can you keep reading?
Yes.
And read from 3 and read down to 5.
Okay.
What did you say?
I was reading that, I was like, ooh, that's good too.
So Jeremiah 22:3-5.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been wronged, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this word, then there shall enter the gates of this house kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servant and their people. But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation.
Lord said, if you take care of these people, deliver these people, you'll be the head and not the tail. I'll take care of you. You take care of them, I'll take care of you. You don't take care of them, I will take care of you. Mm-hmm. That's not life. Mm-hmm. That's not life. That's something to really think about. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, if you don't do this, you'll have to answer to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to answer to the Lord on something I should have been doing,
right,
or not been doing.
Scary.
Uh-huh. I don't want to side on the side of those who don't know. And people don't know. And that's why you don't judge them. You pray for them. You pray for them. You pray for them. And every time I watch and I hear from one country to another, I shudder. Our God is looking from heaven. He's looking and seeing the good and the evil. And every single country is going to have to give account of these actions. And especially to know, he says, when they cry to me, and these people are crying, they're just trying to get their families to a place of safety. They're just trying to run from danger. Never seen him do that before. You know, she walked up and tried to put his paw on her foot. The Lord says they will have to deal with me. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 7:10. Angela, are you there, little one?
Yes. chapter 10?
Uh-huh. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 10. Oh. Angela, are you there?
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm so tired. I actually fell asleep. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Go to sleep.
But I'm awake now.
Oh, no. That's one way to wake you up, call on you.
Zechariah 7, verse 10.
Start at verse 8.
8, okay. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other.
Keep going.
But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and cover their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry.
Oh. Keep going.
When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled around through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate.
Are you seeing this? The Lord says, if you don't do this, and you stop your ears up, and you won't listen, and you won't listen to them, and you won't help them. When you call on me, I won't listen to you.
Mm.
How many blessings do we have because the Lord has heard our prayer? Mm. And our selfishness, our pride, causes us to side with the world. And He says, I will not listen. See, the Lord tells us His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't understand something, I'm telling you, I have lived it all 61 plus of my years. There's nothing that goes on in the world that the Lord didn't address in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing new under the sun. And I can find, and I often do that when I see something going on, I will ask, Lord, what do you have to say about this? And He's faithful. He will take me to His word every time and show me. And show me His word and His position on some matter. And we need to know and understand His position and stand right alongside Him. Because if we stand on the other side, we're in trouble. And you know, the sobering thing on that, and that has kept me pretty sober. Let's turn to Leviticus. I have to get to the passage and look at it before I can tell you guys exactly where it's at.
Which one you say?
Leviticus. It's the Genesis. It's the third one of the fifth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
Which chapter?
I didn't tell you that part yet. I have to get there so I can look at it. That was for me. I was like, whoa. Okay, Leviticus chapter 5, can't tell it's Genesis. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. Trey, honey, you want to read that?
Okay.
Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17.
All right, Leviticus 5, 17. Okay, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment.
The Lord says, if we sin, though we're not aware of the sin, we're still guilty. That's sobering. That's sobering. That's why we need to know, where do we stand with the Lord? Where does he stand on the word? Because if we don't stand with him, we're guilty, though we don't even know it. But this is the mercy of God. He will make it known. Just like we're talking about tonight, you know, immigration and immigration aliens. How many knew where the Lord stood on these topics before now? By, you know, show of hands, how many people knew what the Lord, how the Lord felt about these topics that we see in the news before now? Amen. Amen. How'd you know, my sister? Amen.
A couple of reasons. Just because I knew, you know, what he said about that the Israelites were once aliens and not to mistreat, but also by the comments of many, many Christian people regarding the refugees that were trying to come in, and when I would read it, it would just break my heart.
Yeah.
And so just by that, it was like something is not right.
Yes.
And which led back to the Word of God to find out.
Yes.
Because I don't want to. It seemed that the more important. What am I trying to say? The focus was more on how much is this going to cost me and how inconvenient is it going to be versus compassion.
Yes.
For the people. And it just was not.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. 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 What about you, little one?
For me, it's more like the fact that, number one, none of us are citizens of this world.
Come on.
We're all sojourners.
Come on.
But the second thing is that it doesn't matter where you're from or what you are.
Yes.
You're still loved by God.
Come on.
And we can't turn away
from Come on.
That's right. We need help.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. How'd you know, Jeff?
Just having love and compassion for other people.
Amen.
Because we are all from one, you know, came from one Adam. God created Adam and Eve. Mm. We're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
When they multiplied and multiplied.
Yes.
We all are brothers and sisters. We have the same blood that same blood that God gives us.
Amen.
And when I read why we're fighting amongst each other, it's heartbreaking.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We came from God.
We came from God.
In his image.
Amen.
So there's no difference. I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, Indian.
Amen.
Whatever.
Amen.
We all came from one.
Amen. 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 Look at Psalm 17:8. Are you shaking your head?
Oh, no. I was like, what? You want me to say something?
Psalm 17:8. And Psalms is in the middle of the Bible.
Verse
8. Esther, are you online?
Yes.
You want to read that little one?
Yes. 7. Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the apple of your eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
The psalmist is like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I'm a stranger in this world. Now saying, let me be the apple of your eye. It's important to be the apple of God's eye. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Dora, are you on the line, minister?
Hi.
Hi! Okay, 1, 2, 3. Hi, Dora!
Okay, thank you.
You want to read Zechariah 2, chapter 2, verse 8?
Yeah. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye.
Mm. Mm. Y'all read that? Mm-hmm. Isaiah, Zechariah 2:8. Zechariah is.
I got it.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Verse 8.
Okay.
We have the apple of his eye if we're obedient.
He who touches, he who touches.
Come on.
So don't mess with the Lord.
Amen.
You said Zechariah 2.
Verse 8. Why don't you read out loud, Isaiah?
Okay, it said, for the Lord.
Hello?
Oh. It says, for the Lord of hosts say this, he has sent me for his glory against the nation who are plundering you. For anyone who touches you touches the pulp of his eye.
Come on.
I will move against thee with my power, and they will become plundered for their own servant. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The little song.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to miss that.
Yeah, I didn't want you to
be comfortable missing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. Let's look at another one. It's like, ooh, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. Go to Psalms 105:15. Okay, so Jesse, did we, everybody on the line read?
Not yet. I did.
You read Esther?
Melanie.
Oh, Melanie, yes, you're on the line too?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
1, 2, 3. Hi, Shannon. Okay, for Trey. 1, 2, 3. Hi, Trey. 1, 2, 3. Moshad and Angela.
Oh.
Hi, Moshad and Angela.
Hi, Pastor Catherine and everyone.
Hi, Esther.
Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. We can't leave anybody out. Okay. Psalms 105:15. So, Melanie, Psalms 105:15 is yours. Shannon, okay. Are you there? She's not there. So, Pastor Chris, you got 1 John 2:20. Jeff, you've got 1 John 2:27. And you've got 2 Corinthians 1:21.
1 John 2:27.
Yeah, so we've got Psalms 105:15, Melanie. Pastor Chris has got 1 John 2:20. Fred?
Jeff?
Jeff?
Wait, Jeff or
Fred?
You mentioned Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, I said Fred. I was looking at Jeff. Jeff, 1 John 2:27.
2:23.
Okay. And 2 Corinthians 1:21.
My face,
I think y'all are looking at why preacher put to pastor about 50. About 50 put up. Okay. We're going to start with you, Melanie.
Okay. Psalms 105, verse 15. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm.
Mm-hmm. The Lord says, do not touch my anointed ones. Don't put your lips, don't put your hands, don't put your thoughts on his anointed ones. Mm-hmm. And he says, do not do his prophets, those who bring his word. Don't do them any harm, because you're going to have to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're going to read the next scripture is I want you to understand who's anointed. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. My brother, Pastor Chris. First John chapter 2, verse 20. Alfredo, it was such a blessing to meet you. I'm a disaster, aren't I? But I love the Lord.
I'm
my own.
First John 2:20.
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 20. I think this is why the pastors and old God won't let me up here once a year.
You work all day and all night.
Aww.
First John 2, verse 20.
Yes, I do. I love you too. Okay, yeah, we're ready.
But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know.
What does that mean, Pastor?
That you should know that he's with you.
Come on.
When you're filled with his Holy Spirit.
We're anointed by the Spirit of God. So when he says in Psalms 105, it's not my anointed, that means us. Come on, Jeff.
1 John
2:27.
But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him.
Amen. Amen. And he says the anointing that abides in you, who's he talking about? His Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, Ed. You got
it. Is it 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
Yes. Should I wait?
2 Corinthians?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter
1, verse 21. The other direction. Toward the
first
chapter. 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in Chronicles or Corinthians?
Corinthians.
Oh, right.
Oh, wait a minute. Chronicles.
Yeah. You want more reading glasses? I thought you knew yours on top of your head, right?
Right. Yeah, but I got this. I have to.
But they're not bipolar. That means.
Oh, okay.
That's why it takes a while. Let's
see. That's like Alexa. Alexa, where are my glasses?
Oh.
She's not listening.
Chapter 1, verse 21.
All right. It's okay. We want to all eat together.
Where are you at?
So now we know what the Lord feels about aliens and immigrants and foreigners. He also says that perfect love casts out what?
Fear.
We're not called to fear what man can do to us. The Lord has given us a spirit of what? A sound mind and what? And not one of timidity or pressing back. A sound mind means a mind that's what?
Clear.
A clear mind, a mind that's at peace, a mind that is not afraid of what's going to happen to you if they get you. The Lord hasn't called us to walk in fear. He's called us to walk in faith. To trust Him. Do y'all know that the Lord knew from the very beginning where we were going to live? Let's go and look at that. Acts chapter 17. We'll close with that. Acts chapter 17. I don't even know what time it is. This feels like to close with that.
Yeah, 9:30.
Acts chapter 17.
Acts chapter 17. Verse 26. Fernando?
Alfredo. Which one did you say?
Acts 17:20. It's like looking in the mirror, it's like you're laughing so hard. You know.
I can't so relate.
Oh my goodness. I've turned this to my mother.
Verse 26.
17:26. Yes. Yeah. Half coffee. Oh my. Yeah, I'll tell you that 11 commercial is no joke. That's why they say any name close to that. Okay, Alfredo. Is that right?
Yes.
Perfect.
It should be explained that all the Athenians as well as the foreigners in Athens seemed...
At 17:26?
17:26.
Oh, I thought it was 21. Sorry.
26.
Verse 26. Chapter 17.
In the right chapter. Just go
down a little bit.
Yeah.
17:26.
Not there.
Oh, there's 17.
The pink
right
there.
Thank you, my brother.
From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. To 28, you said?
Just 26.
Okay.
So he determined our boundaries of habitation. He knew where we were going to live and when we're going to live there. And, you know, no door that our Lord opens can a man close.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, no one can close the door that he's opened. Mm-hmm. But no one can open the door that he's closed either.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not called to live in fear, but to live in faith. We're called to pray for those as if we were praying for ourselves. To be diligent about our brothers and sisters. To walk with them and stand with them.
Amen.
As they go through this. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Gotcha.
That's really good. I think when you get the Bible study set out, I definitely want to encourage everyone to go through it again. There are actually many sections in it. Granted, our country is going through all kinds of stuff, but I think we cannot let those noise lose focus on this. So that's one part of Jeremiah 9, which I thought was really cool.
Yes.
Because the first part we touch on God's, what is God's heart towards the foreigners, the aliens, the widows, and we go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in different side of the scriptures, there was even the Levites, I mean, how he cared for them, for those who didn't have an inheritance, just on and on. So I definitely want to encourage everyone to go through that. So while we as Christians, or, you know, as called God's people, to take care of the foreigners, here's one in Jeremiah 29. This is where they are in exile, which means you are a foreigner to other people's land, which I thought was very cool, because there was one part where the joke came out is we are to be the salt and the light wherever we go.
Yes.
And anyway, joke aside, so Jeremiah 29, we'll revisit that. Jeremiah 29, I want you to look at this is what happened. The Israelites were exiled into the Babylonians for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said to themselves, right, what's the point of doing anything? This is not our land.
Yeah.
And just kind of at the tail end of the passage, God has set the boundaries.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So look at their situation. They said, well, this is not our land, but the Lord has sent them, and these are the good ones. In fact, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 24, God says he divided the nation into two baskets and describe as good figs and bad figs.
Yes.
So now we talk about the right hand and the left hand of God anointed.
Yes.
But the journey, the process of what's going on, God is in control. So I thought I would kind of use this to kind of summarize everything we studied.
Amen.
In verse 6, he says, or actually verse 4, I'll read it to you. Thus says the Lord to the host God of Israel, to all the exiles, which are the Israelites, the anointed one, the good figs, right? However, all the definitions you have, the one that God wants to protect. For I have sent you into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build, verse 5, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives of your sons and give your daughters to husbands. So marry them, multiply, right?
All right, I'll share this message. Don't live in fear.
Don't live in fear.
Uh-huh. Live your life.
Amen.
Live your life.
Amen. And it says that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Multiply where? While they are there. Exile, right?
Uh-huh.
While they are the foreigners. They are not immigrants.
Your life on hold waiting to get back home.
There you go. Right? Now here's the thing. Verse 7. This is the light where it comes in. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to the Babylonian on his behalf. For their welfare, for in its welfare you will have welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I always look at that as, you know, pray for them while God would provide for them, for that provision becomes your provision.
Yes.
And at the same time, this brings a whole level of revelation.
Come on.
Because you're not just there for the provision.
Come on.
You're there as the salt and the light.
Ooh, come on.
While they too can hear the word of Christ.
Yes.
They too can be blessed and transformed.
Yes.
While in all of that,
yes,
you're all blessed in that.
Yes. God's come provision. On.
So that was come news on. For me.
Amen.
And
amen.
So, and I think it's important, you know, we do need to look at that from God's perspective. And by the way, the Lord kind of gave me the answer. Adam and Eve are aliens because He's the Lord and Creator. Think about it. Even if they didn't sin, one day they might die after 1,000 age. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they go after that? Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, while they are on earth, they are aliens.
They're still aliens.
So,
and they were put out where they were. They're put out of their home.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were created was not where they ended up residing.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and even our spirit that the Lord gives us, I mean, our soul, our spirit is also, we're a vessel.
Amen.
And it comes from heaven.
Cool.
Nice. That's when I also realize too.
Amen. Amen.
We're just a vessel.
Amen.
Here.
Because I love even Pastor go on with that Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plans to prosper you, not harm you.
Right.
And when you realize that God is the one who has the plans over our lives,
right,
we cannot walk. We no longer have to walk in fear.
Yeah.
As like He's in control. He's in control. Our Father is God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
How many enjoyed the Bible study tonight?
Amen.
How many got something out of the Bible study? You know, you enjoyed me being able. Amen. And you know what? These are some good Bible studies, and these are some great pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let this be, you know, every now and again in this interesting topic. The Lord has got a lot of stuff to say about a lot of things in these times.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to you guys, be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Be faithful. There are a lot of things happening. The end of days is coming fast.
Mm.
It's coming fast, but you don't even know how fast. Time is wrapping up, and the time of our Lord's return drawing near because you're not in the Word. You're not in studies. The Lord says, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord says in these last days people would be married and given in marriage. They'd be planting. Basically, they would be living their lives.
Mm.
He says, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, you know, when the flood came upon those people suddenly. For Noah, it wasn't sudden. But for those who didn't know the Lord and refused to listen to his message, it was sudden. In the days of Lot, when the angels came in to take out Lot and his family because his uncle Abraham had found favor, it wasn't sudden because the angel said, y'all gotta go. I can't even start destruction till y'all have cleared this way. So for them, they knew what was coming. But the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah had no clue. It was sudden. The Lord says that he is coming as a thief in the night. And a bunch of people think that's okay. That means we don't have to be prepared. He's coming as a thief in the night for those who don't know him. He says, but for those who know him, and that's in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he said his coming should not be as a thief in the night. That we are children of the light, not the darkness. We don't go to sleep. We don't lay down. We know. Because the Lord says when you see all these things happening, look up, your redemption is drawing nigh. But if you're not in the Word, you don't even know what's happening. And if you're not in church, and if you're not in study, you have no clue what's coming upon the world. And it's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. How many know that the seals are open? Amen. How do you know that they're open, my brother?
I just know it.
You just know it?
Yeah, I can
I see, you mean it's the seventh seal?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like the sixth one
is already. Are y'all here?
Uh-huh. And we're at the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost time, it's almost up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The seals are open, and most people don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that seventh seal opens, the first trumpet begins to sound. And I truly believe the seventh seal is open.
Yeah, look at the amount of fire that's happening.
Absolutely. And I've heard the trumpet sound from heaven. I've heard that distinct sound, and it turns out I'm not the only one that's heard it. I believe the trumpets have begun to sound.
Yeah. Well, you see, trumpets, and then what?
The bowls of wrath.
Yeah, and then I was looking at an article where they said that they get ready for the revealing of the Antichrist and this, all these things about the what's about to happen, no more order. Mm-hmm. They get ready for this ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into, and only, you know, and it's like supposedly a matter of months. So they had already, he said some people in Wyoming already had implemented it.
The chips
in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the case.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm on what
Yeah. So these people were the giants.
Let me stop you. Look at that mark, and know if it's hypo or hoopo. Mm. Is it on top of the skin or is it under the skin? Because if it's under the skin, it's not a microchip. I mean, it is a microchip, but if it's on the top of the skin, it's not a microchip.
Mm.
But most people read that,
mm-hmm.
and that's, again, that comes to read the word and get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back and read and ask the Lord about that. That, Lord, what is? What type of mark is this? Because it's not just here, it's here. But I can tell you from the Lord, you will not. You know, for those who get the mark of the beast, they've already had it, the mark of their heart for some time.
Mm-hmm.
You won't accept the mark if your heart belongs to Christ. But if your heart has already been marked,
mm-hmm.
you'll accept that mark. And so in essence and in closing, where is your heart at?
Mm-hmm.
Where is your heart at? Where is your relationship? Because if your relationship isn't with the Lord, you've already lost. You've already lost. Pastor Jimmy closes in prayer.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Just, Father, even though we are aliens, we are sojourners in this world, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Father, you have taken us in, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You have provided for us, Lord.
Yeah.
You care for us every step of the way.
Yes.
Father, from the day we are born, you know every hair on our head.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you, Father, for the word that we were taught tonight, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you bring this word into our heart, Lord, that, Father, not only will it drive out all fear in our life, Lord Jesus, but that, Father, that it will continue to open up a heart of compassion to all those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we may look beyond color or trait or
mm-hmm.
or belief system or biases, Lord Jesus, but Father, to truly see each one around us as your child, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Father, to bring everything to you in prayer,
mm-hmm.
Father, to know and to receive our guidance from you and not from the norms of this world or what society thinks is okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we love you. We honor you today with our hearts and our minds. We thank you for each one that is here. Father, I pray the word will continuously grow in our heart. Father, I pray for protection as each one departs from here.
Mm-hmm.
Protect them, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Sorry, guys, I went late. but I didn't have a clock looking at me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Alexa.
Good night,
Alexa.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Where are you at?
Thank you.
That Alexa doesn't answer you. That Alexa hang up on you.
Oh, my God. Hey, Alexa.
Good
day. I'll cover the light when I'm here because I said, hey. Good night, baby. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, honey.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.